Well, thank you, Craig. Thank you, worship team. And welcome, Forest Hills, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, so that you through His poverty might be made rich. Paul said to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 8:9. Well, this morning, as we think about this 4th of July weekend and the freedom that we enjoy, the ultimate freedom, the freedom of forgiveness. So take your Bible, whether you have it on your phone or whatever device or Bible, and turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4, as we're going to talk about be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ has forgiven you. Now, I do want to say that next week I'll have the privilege in the morning services of sharing what Mark Twain called the greatest short story ever told, and a significant lesson from the Lord Jesus. And then if you're already in an adult Bible fellowship between the two worship services, I don't want to take you out of your current class, but if you don't normally in the summertime hang around or come early for that, I'd really like to encourage you to join me for a four-week study that I'm going to teach based on Dr. J.I. Packer's classic book, Knowing God. This is actually a seminary course that I've condensed and taught overseas. And Dr. Packer wrote these words, "Disregard the study of God, and you will sentence yourself to stumble and blunder through life blindfolded, as it were, with no sense of direction and no understanding of what surrounds you. This way you can waste your life and lose your soul." So I can say this is excellent material because I didn't write it, and would love to have you join me in the discovery class upstairs in the gymnasium next week. Well, look with me, please, at the last paragraph of Ephesians chapter 4. I am reading Ephesians 4, beginning at verse 29. "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice." And let's actually read verse 32 out loud together. Whatever translation you may have, let's do verse 32 out loud. "Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you." So, what we've got in this verse is, first of all, a command. Be kind. Be compassionate towards one another, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ has forgiven you. But the Bible doesn't just give us commands, it also gives us motivations and an example. And the example, of course, is even as God in Christ has forgiven you. And then thirdly, I want us to look at what's the result of being a forgiving person and experiencing the freedom of forgiveness. Now, in your little note sheet, you have a spot to make a note of this. The basic Bible word, Old Testament, New Testament, to forgive means to let go or to release. Now, there's a quiz on this in 18 minutes. So, the concept is to let it go, to loose, to forgive. Now, I became a Christian and Pontiac, Michigan, as a young adult, and back in those days, many of us would take a bumper sticker and slap it on our car that simply said, "God loves you." That's the old one. Have you seen the new one? "God loves you, and I'm trying." Now, the truth is, life is not an equal opportunity employer, but life gives everybody the opportunity to get hurt. And therefore, we all need to practice the sweet spiritual science of being a forgiving person because we have been forgiven. The story of the prodigal son is really been retitled the story of the forgiving father. This younger son dissed his dad in a way that was totally the epitome of disrespect in the ancient Jewish world. As he says to dad, "I don't care, dad, whether you're dead or alive. I just want the inheritance right now." And he took off and partied in a far country. And yet that father was longingly looking for that son to forgive and to restore. You'll recall that Jesus in Matthew 18 told a story about a king who had a servant, and this servant somehow racked up a $10 million debt. And that king forgave his servant, his employee, that debt totally. But that servant then had himself a slave who had racked up something like a 20-buck debt, and he went to his own slave and said, "Pay me or I'll throw you in prison." And the guy said, I can't pay." Actually, the scripture says that this ungrateful man who had been forgiven much grabbed his servant by the throat. So the literal translation from the Greek would be, "I can't pay." And he threw him into jail. And when the king, who had been so gracious, heard about this, he was angry. And it became a picture of the fact that, in the words of an old country song, "Christ paid a debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away." And so this man never could have paid a $10 million debt, and it was wiped out. But the 20-buck debt that he insisted on being paid is representative of our being willing to be forgiving of others. Well, the parallel verse to our text this morning would be Colossians 3:13. "Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you." Now, Augustine, some call him Saint Augustine, he founded a city down in Florida, I think. No, he ministered in Africa in the 300s. Great man of God. And he knew that regardless of how strong we grow in Christ, we'll never get beyond the place where we have to deal with our need to forgive others. His words, "Whatever victories we may have achieved in the battle to overcome and control our passion, the time will never come this side of the grave when there will be no need to plead, 'Forgive us our sins.' Because as we walk in the light as He is in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. We have fellowship with one another. But if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, He's faithful, He's just to forgive us our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make Him out to be a liar, and His word is not in us." And then 1 John chapter 2 picks up and says, "My little children, I write these things to you that you do not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate. We have a lawyer. We have one who pleads our case, and He is Jesus Christ, the righteous." Well, this is the way we'd like to deal with people that hurt us. I've actually kind of had this as a screensaver in the past, and my job has been to pastor pastors, and sometimes when they do something stupid, I think, I would just like to pray for that person. Well, that's the way the world and our flesh wants to respond. It's not the way that the Lord would have us to respond. So let me tell you a story. There's a kid who as a teenager, all his life goal was to have the fastest speedboat on the lake. So he worked as a teen, he worked as a young adult to get enough money to buy this high-powered speedboat, and he was able as a young man to buy it. He hooked it up to his dad's SUV, and he took it to the lake, and he was excited because he's going to show everybody up this is the fastest boat on the lake. And as he got it into the water, Okay, these are not Forest Hills words here, kids, on the screen. He couldn't get it to go. I mean, he jammed the throttle down, and the best it would do was go... He checked the tank. He had fuel. He checked the line. He didn't have a kink in it. So it took him a half an hour to get across to the lake to where there was a marina. And he said, I want somebody to put a face mask on and check. I think somebody sold me a boat with a defective prop. When the guy went underneath the boat and came up, he almost drowned. He was laughing so hard because this guy had gotten so excited that he had unhooked the trailer from his father's SUV. He'd forgotten to hook the boat off of the trailer. And he's trying to ride and drive the lake with a speedboat, dragging this undercarriage of a trailer, and he can't go forward as it's designed to go forward, dragging under the surface all of this. How many believers have struggled with dragging in their life a stinking undercarriage of bitterness? Or of hurt, or of malice, or anger? Oh, we're not saying that it's not natural that if you've been abused as a child or neglected or you're in a relationship right now and it's very difficult, of course that temptation is going to be there. But that's where we get help to deal and get rid of the trailer that keeps us from going forward. I actually had a student one time in class say, when I told this story, he said, come on, you made that up. That's not true. And another older lady in the class said, I know that's true. That was my nephew who did that. True story. Well, the command is be kind, compassionate to one another, forgiving one another. But the example is even as Jesus Christ has forgiven you. And so the verse I quoted right just at the beginning, this wonderful verse, you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, so that you, through His poverty, might become rich. Or the foundation of Christianity is expressed in 2 Corinthians 5:21. God made Him, Christ, who had no sin, to be sin for us, that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. This is what we call the substitutionary atonement of Christ. And there is no substitute for the substitute. Just this week I came across a quote from Martin Luther as he was counseling a person that was a believer but felt weighed down by his sin and his failure. And Dr. Martin Luther said, when the devil throws our sins up to us and declares that we deserve death and hell, we ought to speak thus. I admit that I deserve death and hell. What of it? Does this mean that I shall be sentenced to eternal damnation? By no means. For I know one who suffered and made satisfaction in my behalf. His name is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Where He is, there I shall be also. And so there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Psalm 103 is that beautiful psalm that talks about the fact that as far as the east is from the west, so far has God put our sins from His face. I was counseling with a lady, and I knew Bonnie feared God and loved Christ. But like many believers, she struggled with assurance of salvation. And I said, Bonnie, read that verse. She said, as far as the east is from the west, so far I will put your sins from my face. I said, what's that mean, Bonnie? She said, oh, I'm not good at directions. East, west. But then she said, Jim, I think it means that because of what Christ did, as east and west never meet, my sins will never meet up with God's face. And she got it. The psalm says He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear Him. And God's forgiveness comes to us free, unconditional, and continual. There's this great old hymn, "My sin, oh the bliss," means happiness, "of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, oh my soul." Or the old Puritan hymnist Isaac Watts wrote, "Five bleeding wounds he bears, received on Calvary. They pour effective prayers. They strongly plead for me. Before the throne, my assurance stands. My name is written on His hands." So, the Bible is full of good examples of forgivers. Joseph of Egypt, if ever a kid was raised in a dysfunctional family, here's little Joe on the Ponderosa with not two good big brothers, but 10 mean big brothers. And Joseph is raised in this dysfunctional family. The Scripture says they could not speak a kind word to him. They hated him. They hated him. They were jealous of him. Oh, Joseph. But when he has a chance to get vengeance as the prime minister in Egypt, he says to his brothers, "What you did, you meant for evil." Now let's stop and understand that forgiving doesn't pretend that bad stuff never happened. It doesn't pretend that you're not hurting of what's happening right now or what happened in your childhood or some other situation. Joseph said, "What you did, you meant for evil. But God," he said, "meant it for good to deliver these people." And instead of bitterness, he allowed himself to be a blessing. David was a man that was abused by crazy King Saul. Saul was unstable spiritually, and Saul took David's wife, and Saul caused David to live in the woods and in caves for years. But when David had a chance to get vengeance, he said, "I will not touch the anointed of the Lord." He understood that the man and the personality may have been wacky. That's a technical Hebrew word. But that he would not touch God's anointed. And instead of getting vengeance, he gave forgiveness. Or you think of Ruth and the little romance of redemption in the book of Ruth, she's a widow, she's taking care of her mother-in-law, she's in a foreign country, she's destitute. But rather than allowing circumstances to get her bitter, she took advantage of the Old Testament provision that those who could work could glean the edges of the field and therefore not starve. And God used her sweet spirit to meet Boaz, who became her provider. And Ruth becomes a great example of so many in the Bible that are good forgivers. Let me give some quick examples today. I'm from Detroit. You'll have to forgive me of that. But I married a West Michigan girl. Her name was Kleinenberg. So there's Dutch in the family now. She's in the nursery or helping out someplace in the second service. But Dorothy Leninger experienced what would, in my mind, be the ultimate pain for a parent. Her daughter was kidnapped and killed. And Dorothy Leninger spent 10 years struggling with bitterness. In fact, her husband probably died out of bitterness of this horrible tragedy. But Dorothy knew God. And one day after 10 years, she went to a retreat and she cried what she called good tears. And she got some counseling and some help. Not only did she forgive the murderer, she went to prison and ministered to him, to visit with him and comfort him. That's the grace of God. In India, there was one Hindu tribe that had no concept of forgiveness or graciousness with one another. There was no word in their dialect for forgiveness. Christian missionaries went and worked with well ministries, providing water and dispensary with meds. But because of the misbehavior of one of the Indian people, there was a construction accident and one of the missionaries was killed. The Hindu people then thought, well, they'll leave us now. They're angry. But the missionaries got together and said, now is the chance where we really show Christ. And today, there is a word in the vocabulary of this particular Hindu tribe for forgiveness. And many of the people have become believers because they've seen the gospel. Finally, not far from here in northern Ohio, a little girl, 8 years old, had her mean old neighbor poison her puppy dog. And sometime later, her father found a note that the little girl had written and left in her room. And it said, "Dear God, please help me to forgive the mean old man that killed my dog. Please, in Jesus' name, amen. P.S. Some things are hard to understand, aren't they, God?" And we know it's true. Many of you are familiar with Corrie Ten Boom, who wrote The Hiding Place, etc. The day came after World War II, in which her entire family had been killed, when the Nazi stormtroopers came in and busted her family for providing shelter and protection for Jewish people. She never saw her parents again. She went to the concentration camp with her sister Betsy, and in that camp, she saw her sister abused and die. And yet, out of gratitude for the gospel, Corrie Ten Boom would go around post-World War II Germany and lecture about the love of God. And one day she looked out and she saw the very guard that had been in charge of her barracks and who had been abusive to her sister, Betsy. And she said she struggled through her talk, and of all things, this man came up to her and said, "Sister Ten Boom, since the war, I have been converted to Jesus Christ." And he said, "I know that God has forgiven one like me, but I need to know that someone like you who wouldn't know about me, but who knows what happened." And she thought, "Oh, I know who you are. I need to know that you would forgive me." And he stuck out his hand. And Corrie Ten Boom said, "Oh God, I can't do it." I'm going to tell you the rest of the story in 8 minutes. But let's close with the benefits of forgiving others. As we talk about be kind, compassionate to one another, forgiving one another because God in Christ Jesus has forgiven us, let's recognize that Jesus said, "For if you forgive others their trespasses, your Father in heaven will forgive you." There's probably not a kid, a parent, a single here that hasn't prayed, "Father, forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us." Or, "Forgive us our debts, our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us." You realize what we've prayed? We've prayed, "God, forgive us as we forgive." Now let's be clear about the gospel. We don't become Christians by being good forgivers. I tell my Cornerstone students all the time, you don't become a Christian by getting your act together. You become a Christian by admitting that you don't have your act together, and you let Christ become your act. Amen? And so, we're not saved by living the Christian life, but if we have received the forgiveness of God and we don't extend it to others, we'll never know the joy, the power, or the freedom, the reality of walking in forgiveness. Another benefit is a clear conscience. Paul said, "I make it my goal to have a conscience that's void of offense or clear of offense between God and man." It is possible that we actually can, in this world, have a clear conscience. So if you've stolen something, you need to admit it and make restitution. If you told a lie about someone else, you need to ask forgiveness. And if it's done harm, you need to remedy that. Many times I've had to send an email or make a phone call or a few times say to a person, "I'm sorry." I don't have to say, "You were partially wrong and I was partially wrong." No. Just say, "I'm sorry." They know what's going on. Don't have to get into the details of it. to simply have to say, I'm sorry. Jesus said, before you give your gift at the altar, go and be reconciled to your brother. And then come and do your Christian thing. And we want to have Holy Spirit joy and power as a result of knowing that we're right with God and with other people. You can't make people forgive you, but you can simply ask. Well, Corrie Ten Boom stood with that former guard in the concentration camp, Brookensville or Ravensbrück or wherever it was, and he had his hand stuck out, and she said, oh God, I don't think I can do it. But then she prayed a prayer that I often pray. She said, but Lord, make me willing to be willing. See, sometimes when I'm facing temptation or something, I'm like, Lord, I'm not up to this. I can't do it. But would you make me willing to be willing? Okay, don't look at me hypocritically. You need to pray that same way too, right? Yeah. And so, Corrie Ten Boom said, but God, if you help me move my hand, I will shake his hand. She then said that she didn't shake his hand. She threw her arms around him and said, I forgive you, brother, because God has forgiven me. Now, many of you knew that story, but then she wrote later that forgiveness is like letting go of a rope of a big old school bell that you're pulling on. You're pulling on the rope of bitterness and it's going clang, 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 clang. But she said to forgive means to, okay class, what does the word forgive mean? I told you there was going to be a quiz. To let go. To release. To loose. And so Corrie Ten Boom said that forgiveness means that you let go of the rope. Now the bell continues to clang, 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 until it's silence unless you grab the rope again. Forgiveness sometimes is not quick. Sometimes it's not easy. It means that we need to get help. Maybe it involves a Christian counselor or a brother or sister coming alongside and enabling us to do what we're not able to do ourselves. But forgiveness is possible. And this morning, I just want us to ask God by His power that we would be willing to be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving one another, because God in Christ has forgiven us. And say, if you've not received the gift, then believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. But now as believers, let's enjoy God and His forgiveness and serving Him and being gracious with others. Let's bow our hearts together. And so, Heavenly Father, we pray that You would enable us to be kind and compassionate. Lord, maybe some this morning have just really struggled as I've spoken and their childhood or their circumstances now just really hurting. Give them grace to do what's right. And Father, we love You because You first loved us. Help us to act on that love. May Forest Hills and may all people here just ooze the grace that You give. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.